o'clock on a Monday. We're all back together. Well, minus Mac. Nathan in town today and tomorrow. Glad to have you. Already got a new drop. I'm nailing all these golfers. Never know. Always watch your rear, is what they say in Richie Rich. Great movie.
Sorry, I'm not paying attention. I'm looking at this direct message that you have sent me.
The Branson
couple has been arrested after authorities say they secretly lived in the attic space of a local Walmart for more than 2 years. I'm going to retweet this. They look like people who live in the attic of a Walmart in Branson. According to police, Todd McAllister, 47, and Jessica Reams, 45, had been residing in a makeshift living area tucked inside the store's attic above the garden center and automotive section.
That's right.
The discovery came after an HVAC contractor responding to a routine maintenance issue stumbled upon what he described as a fully lived-in campsite, complete with a mattress, battery-powered lantern, storage bin full of clothes, and even a working hot plate.
There it is.
So they could have burned the whole place down.
That's right.
And then you see the picture of these two winners. I mean, it's unbelievable. You couldn't have come up with drawings better than what these people look like in real life. How much meth has this guy done?
The world's amount. He looks like Marv when he gets shocked by the washer.
Yes. And she looks like she put tattoos on herself with a Bic pen.
No, she looks like she still thinks the Insane Clown Posse is still a
band. That's right. Yeah.
She is definitely a juggalette for sure there, man. That is, you can go to Fesco's Twitter or X page.
Oh, my retweeted. God.
That's what happens when you just stumble upon the internet. Jerry Jones, also living in a Walmart attic, still believes that the Cowboys are America's team because Jason Garrett squashes believe Jerry Jones is using Micah Parsons for ESPN attention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, TJ Watt got signed, right? Miles Garrett got signed. The next DN to get signed, which probably
George Karloftis got signed.
I would assume that Trey Hendrickson will get signed before Micah Parsons gets signed.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones just will always try to be the circus head man, the what do you call him,
the carnival barker.
Barnaby,
Barnum and Bailey, yes. He's modern-day P.T. Barnum.
But we know he's not America's team because we know who is America's team because primetime would allow us to believe that, right?
That's
right. 8 games to start the season, 5 of them primetime for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right, and Jerry Jones, you know, at the end of the week called him Michael Parson and then, you know, was into it, I guess, yesterday again as he was in training camp and people are chanting, sign Micah, sign Micah, sign Micah, and Jerry Jones responds back and says, Micah has to want to be signed.
Huh.
So now it's on the player,
right?
This is what we're doing. And I was reading something the other day about, I think it was Scottie Scheffler, and he said he would be willing to trade one of his majors for the Cowboys to win a Super Bowl, right? And you think about Scottie Scheffler, like, oh, he's 29 years old. Yeah, he's never seen the Cowboys win a championship because it's been 30 years since the Cowboys were a relevant franchise. And
hasn't seen one of a playoff.
Well, they yeah, right. And so he's willing to trade one of his majors. And I thought about that. I'm like, that's a sicko right there. I wouldn't be willing to trade anything for something like that. But also it goes to show you that's the only way that Scottie Scheffler has confidence that his football team can do anything if he makes a deal with the devil and trades one of his major championships for the Cowboys to go out there and win Lombardi because he doesn't have faith in the organization itself. And you shouldn't have faith in the organization itself. You know, Jerry Jones is going to continue to go out there and just be on TV and loves the spotlight. You know, more and more people are saying, as you mentioned with Jason Garrett, talking about the spotlight too. And, you know, he'd rather be on, you know, TV than win a Super Bowl. I think, you know, who was the guy that we were going to have on at the Super Bowl? Was a writer for ESPN and never Kevin,
heard of him.
Kind of more of an analytical guy. I think his first name was Kevin, but anyway, he's an ESPN guy. Mm-hmm. And he said that he does believe that Jerry Jones, if they said to him, you can win a Super Bowl, but you have to give up publicly speaking to the media every week, Jerry Jones wouldn't accept that offer. He'd rather speak in front of the media than win a championship. It's hard to debate that. It really is. It's hard to argue that because he makes so many of these bad decisions and he just continues to alienate his player. If I'm Micah Parsons at the end of this season, man, I'm playing this thing out and I'm hitting the free agent market, man. Go ahead and franchise tag me. I'm not playing under your franchise tag.
Just get out of Dallas. You can come to Kansas City if you'd like.
Yeah.
Feel free. That's an actual winning team because you look at what the Chiefs' schedule is to start the season, right? Like, you look at what really sells, and it's obviously the Kansas City Chiefs, because Warren Sharp tweets this out: the Chiefs are the first team in NFL history to receive 5 primetime games in their first 8 weeks of the season. Friday in Brazil, the first real NFL game, that's primetime.
Yep.
The Giants on Sunday football, for some reason, it's Mahomes' first time in the second time in the Meadowlands, right? He played in the Jets a couple years. No, yeah, he was on that in that Jets game. A couple years ago, we were at the Hollywood Casino watching that. Jacksonville, Monday Night Football, sweet. Detroit, Sunday Night Football, that's week 6. And then week 8, Washington, Monday Night Football here in Kansas City. And then week 9, the Bills and Chiefs will be on CBS. Not a primetime game, but...
Might as well be. The CBS won't have any other games.
Nobody's watching that one. So, I mean, you look at this, and they also play on Thanksgiving and Christmas, and they have another Sunday Night Football game throughout the season. So, yes, 5 primetime games in the first 8 weeks, and then 3 more throughout the rest of the season. Back when it used to be, you get 6, that's it.
That was it, yeah.
Now you get 9 or 10, doesn't matter. We want to put the selling product on the field.
Right, and the Chiefs will play in every primetime game, every standalone game, until they're not, the team that is out there getting all the television ratings right now. That's what everybody wants to watch. And now with the emergence of Josh Simmons in the first day with pads on, everything is moving in the right direction. I think there was a moment yesterday where the television networks kind of were like Mr. Burns, when they saw that Josh Simmons was healthy, and the rest of the National Football League went, oh my God, the Chiefs have done it again. I mean, they continue to find ways to get better when nobody thinks they're going to get better, and everybody thinks they're going to be washed, and it's not going to be their year, and it's going to be, the year for the Broncos or whatever other AFC team you want to put in the mix to win, this thing. And the Chiefs just solidified their biggest talking point from February 15th on, was that there was nobody to play left tackle, and the first training camp practice in full pads, they roll it out there and Josh Simmons is passing off, defenders and picking up blocks and doing everything, and there's nobody battling him for that left tackle spot, but yet there's 3 people battling for the right tackle spot. And so now all of a sudden people are waking up around the NFL world and going, okay, the Chiefs are officially back. It's time to go and find a way to stop the Chiefs again. They solved their biggest weakness in one pick of a draft that every other team passed up on.
And it's funny when you read the comments to some of these, to the tweet that Warren Sharp had sent out. The first one is just the Taylor effect. The second one is NFL giving them the max they can. They'd give them a primetime spot every week if they could.
Right.
The next response is, as they should. And then the next spot, we will not be watching.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, you will. 100%.
Yeah. The Taylor effect is something that obviously is an impact. There's no doubt about it. But it's not bringing you 35 million people to the television set every Sunday to watch the Chiefs. And that's what they're getting. They're getting between 25 and 35 million people every single time the Chiefs are playing on TV. Yeah, there's a little bit of a bump there for Taylor. There's no question about it. But people are still tuning in to see.
Yeah,
right, absolutely. But people are still tuning in to see Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Xavier Worthy and, all these guys that they have, these superstar players. We're still tuning in to watch all of that. And then there is the ancillary folks that are tuning in to watch Taylor Swift. But I don't think that Taylor Swift is going to be as big in year 3 as it was in day 1 when everybody was tuning in to see Taylor Swift. She's now somebody that we just know is going to be there.
Right. Somebody says, isn't it funny that the Super Bowl replay is not a primetime game? A little bit. But again, I don't think it needs to be. I think people will still gravitate towards that game to see what this matchup will look like. And then you get the text line from the 913, Chiefs are America's team, ? Maybe the ref's favorite team. Ha ha. Go Bills. Suck it.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
great. How are the Bills doing in the playoffs against the Chiefs? I mean, I understand that Jimmy Gaffney's probably tweeting that in, go Bills, suck it. But, I mean, you don't have the bragging rights.
Regular season bragging rights.
Sure.
It's just crazy to me that we are already, at this point, in the season where we have a football game on Thursday night that starts off everything. And then what? Not this weekend, but next weekend, August 9th, I believe, the Kansas City Chiefs will play their first preseason game. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then we have the second day of full pads, which is where Cody and Gold will be today broadcasting live in St. Joe. Take your water, boys. How many over under water bottles Alex Gold drinks today in St. Joe? I'm going to say 2.5.
Oh, what size bottle are we talking about?
I don't know. I feel like he'll just have a Propel bottle.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go under.
Under
2.5? Because Alex doesn't like sweating,
No.
So he'll stand in front of a fan and, stay as cool as he possibly
can. They got fans down there now?
Well, I think if they're in that same tent that we were in years past that got struck by lightning every year when Josh and I were out there getting soaked, I would say, and we weren't soaking, but I mean, it was raining through and lightning, and so we were in this little corner of the tent hoping to be alive. It had fans.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, I think Mac and I'll be down there this Saturday. If you want to come down there and check out camp, I believe him and I'll be doing.
He's
a show.
Already up there.
Yeah, he's
moved into Binkley's house. It's training camp time.
Yeah, he moved into the old Uncle D's in the attic space. He's got a battery powered lantern, a hot pad, all that sort of stuff. So. Can't
Mac and Binkley are living in the abandoned Uncle D's, getting ready for camp.
That's right. And that guy's nub is still there as he drinks beer and smokes a cigarette. Don't forget, Joy 96.5 The Fan live at Hollywood Casino on Friday, August 8th. Cody and Gold plus The Drive will be broadcasting live from the sportsbook inside Hollywood Casino. We'll be registering fans to win a signed Chiefs Charles and Minnehue football and plus a pair of tickets to Chiefs Colts. Be sure to follow Hollywood Casino on Facebook, Instagram, X, and enter the giveaway on August 7th for a chance to win $100 pin cash on August 8th every hour from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Have you ever loved anything, either of you guys, or text line, anybody can wait. Have you ever loved anything as much as Jay Binkley loved towers of beer at Uncle D's?
Yes, Sophie Cunningham's t-shirt from this week.
That was very good.
Hot girl heated Arby's.
Who's going to Arby's today, right?
I will.
I can't imagine the uptick that Arby's is going to have at their drive-thru today.
Got to get my Sophie Cunningham interview for the show in the future because I want to know what her order is at Arby's. Curly fries, you know?
Vern's coming up. We can ask him what his order would be at Arby's.
Right. We'll have Vern on today at 9 o'clock, I believe. No, next segment. We'll have Vern on where we get to talk about the Royal Blues, the Royal Trades, and all that sort of stuff coming up. It's my guy, Josh Verner, and everybody's guy, our Royals insider, next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. That's right, 8 o'clock, midway through 8 o'clock on a Monday. That means it's Vern time, baby. Vern, baby Vern, my guy, your guy, Royals insider Josh Verner joins us now, as you can hear him tonight, because it's the Royals and the Braves, those Bravos in Kansas City tonight. Vern's on deck show starting at 5:30 tonight. Vern, how you been? I've been gone for a week, but I missed you. I listened to you on the way home from the airport after that, or on the way out to the airport. I was going back through the podcast. Vern, have you been doing all right watching this team play some better ball in the second half?
Yeah. It's nice to win series at home. I'm doing very well. The booth I have out at Kauffman Stadium is air-conditioned, so you're not going to hear me complain.
Good. That's everything we want. Air-conditioned at this time of the year, because if not, it may be a little hot for you out there. Let me ask you this. Can you explain the Seth Lugo signing last night to us?
Well, to me, you weren't going to get anything better than Seth Lugo if you traded Seth Lugo, even if you do bring in a bat that could possibly help you in 2026, right? Talking about one of those Cubs, AAA outfielders. Are we confident that that bat would be an all-star caliber bat in 2026? No, but I believe that Seth Lugo has an opportunity to be an all-star next year. You know, my first reaction was cool, you know, great. Yeah, certainly nothing to complain about.
Right.
The only reason why I wanted or thought that the Royals needed to trade Seth Lugo was because I thought Seth Lugo would take it to free agency. I thought he would get that third year. Right, it's a two-year deal, $46 million. It could end up going up to $60 million. In my opinion, if Lugo takes this to free agency, that $60 million is guaranteed. So maybe he left, in my opinion, he left $14 million on the table because he likes Kansas City. It's some guaranteed money in front of you right now rather than hoping that you can stay healthy for the next 2 months. Now, this also raises questions about Chris Bubich and the conversation you're going to have about him this offseason, because you know, you look 2 years from now, you're paying a 37-year-old Seth Lugo $20 million. You're paying Michael Wacha at 36 years old. You'll be paying him $14 million. You'll still have Cole Reagans. You'll still have Noah Cameron. Now, hey, if they want to sign Chris Bubich, go for it. Keep it going. Yeah, lock up this rotation if you want. And really what this is going to show us is, you know, what kind of class is this organization in? How much money is John Sherman willing to spend? Again, there's nothing negative to say about this Seth Lugo deal. It's not our money. We don't need to pinch pennies
right
for John Sherman. The only way the deal looks bad is if sometime down the road in the next 2.5 years, instead of adding more to this team, they're unable to because they're paying Seth Lugo $20 million. But there's no reason to believe that's going to be the case with John Sherman and the way that he's gone about it, as they just continue to make moves that are made with winning being the priority, right? Nothing right. else. They're, if you're a good player and you like Kansas City and you're willing to scratch our back a little bit, we'll scratch your back. And that's exactly what they did with Bobby, with Michael Wacha. It's exactly what they did with, you know, once they missed out on that bat this offseason, they go out and they find a all-star closer in Carlos Estevez. I think this Seth Lugo deal falls right in line. And now as we look towards 2026, yes, the questions about Chris Bubich linger, but also they still need to address this offense, you would think, unless we're all on board in running it back with the same top six, top seven in the lineup next season. And I can't imagine anybody's really willing to do that. So great job spending money. Get ready to spend some more this offseason.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way I look at it. Like, Lugo, that's a great move for 26, 27, but how does that make you better now as you push in this sprint to the finish to try to get into the postseason? Like, what can you do now to make your team better? Because the biggest trade chip to go get that bat is no longer a trade chip.
Yeah, and even that trade chip, I don't know if it was going to garner you the bat to help you in 2025 make some sort of push. Honestly, and you know, I'm just describing what the Seth Lugo contract meant to me, it really doesn't have much bearing on 2025 other than the psychological impact on that clubhouse, where, hey, we're no longer playing for Seth Lugo's life, right? You've heard the stories, you've maybe heard the audio of a Vinny Pasquantino and others inside that clubhouse pointing to Seth Lugo and saying, you know, we want that guy to stick around. We're not trying to wave the white flag going into the deadline. I think this move, even though, you know, it doesn't make Cole Reagans healthy, it doesn't make Chris Bubich or Jack Caglione healthy, it doesn't make your base running better, it doesn't make your offense any better, but it does, I would imagine, make the guys feel as if it's another pat on the back from ownership, from the general manager. It's reinforcement that we do believe in this group, the group that we put together in spring training. We still believe in that group, even if it's not coming together so far this season. We believe in it over the final third, and we certainly believe in it going into 2026. And I mentioned this on the post game yesterday. Sure, this year has been incredibly disappointing, but I expect them to win the division next year. So long as you have Bobby and Jack Caglione together, which you will up until 2030 at least, that's my expectation every single season. And that's not only based off of talent and the rotation, that's also based off of the guy calling the shots in John Sherman and J.J. Piccolo. These guys are winners, and I think that's been fairly evident for the past two seasons. They're going to carry themselves. They're going to attack like winners, so I'm going to hold them to a standard of winners. So when they're below 500, yeah, I'm going to talk about how disappointed I am, but I'm also going to say this group that we've all been sitting around waiting for, going, man, there's just no way they're this bad on the base pass. There's no way they're this bad offensively. There's no way they're this mediocre defensively. We say that because we believe in the talent, and I still believe in the talent so much so that, yeah, as we look forward to 2026, there's no reason to believe that this team can't walk away with the division.
They've got a couple days left until the trade deadline comes to an end. Do you see this team making more moves, or is it pretty much, you know, moot in the water at this point with the MLB?
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, sure, I could see them making more moves. But I don't want them to be quote-unquote buyers. You know, I don't look at – same. You know, had they trade Seth Lugo, I wouldn't view that as them being sellers. Again, you only had them for 2 months.
Right.
Sellers to me means you're sacrificing something in 2026 or 2027. If you trade Seth Lugo, that wasn't sacrificing something, in my opinion, for next season. Bringing in Randall Grichuk and Adam Frazier – that's not necessarily buying, because you're not parting with something that you prize right for 2026 and 2027. So I think this is the lane that the Royals stay in. Now, I know there are people out there that want them to be buyers, right? Go package a Blake Mitchell and a Ramon Ramirez. Take one of those A-ball pitchers and go get that bat to help this team track down the final wild card spot in the American League. I love that optimism. And, you know, the fan inside of me would be pretty fired up if they did make a move like that. But, you know, if they bend my ear and want my opinion, no. This team has shown me really nothing to hang my hat on to say the best baseball's yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
I understand there's still a third of the baseball season to play. But the game, the baseball gods, and the guys out there on the field over the first 106 games have shown me who this team is. And now with the injuries to Cags and Bubich and Reagans, it's nice to have Hunter Harvey back, but just doesn't feel as if it's in the cards for this team this season. Just they don't do enough that reflects a good baseball team. Their record, their base running, their defense, their offense, and now with the injuries to the rotation, the group that has carried them all season, their backs are starting to give out. Just doesn't appear to be in the cards this year.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing, because of all those things, Vern, that you've mentioned, they're still around. I mean, and I think that's a credit to Q as well as the manager to kind of keep this thing together, because I'm sure if I would have told Josh Vernier on September, or not on September, but July 28th, Bubich would be on the DL, Reagans would be on the DL, Waka would be on the DL, Cags would have not played well, and he's on the DL, MJ Melendez is back with his second tour of duty on this team. You say, oh my God, the season was over in June, yet somehow they're just two games under 500 and still kind of floating around in that ether, and they could be a lot worse than they are. That's a credit to the manager for keeping this thing together, I guess.
Well, the Bubich injury just happened,
yeah,
so
right,
we'll see
right.
How they respond to that. Yeah, to me, it's more of a reflection on the pitching staff, more notably the rotation. Yeah, listen, I'm not trying to be negative, but that's also the third wild card is stupid.
Yeah.
162 games, and you're telling me, yeah, I'm still not sure who the six best teams are in the
right.
American League. You know, if you don't have that third wild card spot, the Royals are what, seven games back of the final one game playoff wild card spot? Yeah. The record says they're still in it, but as a person that's watched every single pitch of every single game, this is not a bad team. It's a below average team, and they're yet to prove me, yet to prove otherwise. I want to believe in them. Again,
mm-hmm.
I know the talent. We all know the talent, but watching this team day in and day out, they don't appear on the cusp.
It's on the
record, the games back. It all seems as if it's, you know, just kind of stringing some fans along, trying to, you know, keep you coming out to the ballpark, which is exactly what Major League Baseball wanted when
mm-hmm.
they added two more teams to the postseason. I've never been a fan of it. I understand why they're doing it, but it just continues to sully the regular season.
Vern, let's play one word with you. The injury to Caglione in the hamstring can be what for him?
Unfortunate. Yeah. What do you mean, can be?
Like
a good thing?
Could it take time off, get better? Obviously, he's going to get healthy with the leg, but can it get him some time to kind of, you know, sit back, not to worry about anything, not think it's just a day off? It's more of like a, hey, get healthy, but also, you know, make maybe, you know, look at some extra stuff, maybe things that you missed, give you more time to look between the pages or the at-bats a little bit more with not having to worry about playing in a game the next day.
Yeah, sure, but get healthy, you know. Yeah, I mean, possibly, yeah, getting away from the game, I guess, could be. No, I mean, there's no way to spin losing Jack Caglione to an injury as if it's a good thing. Now, I wasn't one that was really ever panicked about Cags.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought it maybe would have locked in by now. But I was always of the belief that August and September, he would become a real force in this offense. There are some things that maybe, you know, sitting next to a Luke Maley in the dugout, being alongside Randall Grichuk and, you know, Adam Frazier, you know, suddenly they do have some really stable quality vets in that dugout, in that clubhouse. Yeah, you know, learning from those guys, I think, could be beneficial, but he could still learn from those guys if the hamstring wasn't barking. So, you know, the Randall Grichuk acquisition, I think, again, another move where you're like, yeah, I don't hate that. How could you be anything but pleased by that? You're a better team with Grichuk on the roster than you were without him. It's unfortunate that he takes the roster spot of Jack Caglione, even though, you know, Grichuk is about a league average hitter. Royals only have four league average hitters on the team right now. But man, the thing that this team has been starving for is power. And while, sure, Grichuk brings some power, Cags brings some prodigious power. So to be without that for a few weeks certainly hurts. But yeah, Dusty, I love the way you're looking at it. Hopefully, you know, instead of looking at it as if it's some sort of a setback, Cags will seize the opportunity to, you know, watch the game from a different angle and hopefully improve.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that's kind of the thing for me. I'm like, you give him that opportunity to go rest, if you will, and not have to give him a break from not having the success up here. And so it could be beneficial to everybody, sure. Which brings us to Bubich. And you know, now the offseason rolls along. Can Chris Bubich be a better value to the Royals as a trade chip this offseason to acquire that bat than to have him back in the rotation next year?
Well, now that you have Lugo under contract,
right.
Yeah. You know, so long, especially if he can make a start or two, but that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
You know, a rotator cuff strain, it's the beginning of August. We've seen it's already kept. Cole Reagan's out for a month and a half, so it might be tough for Bubich to get back on the bump in a big league game and prove to other general managers that he's good to go. But yeah, listen, if he's going into his final year of team control, you either trade him this offseason, trade him at the deadline, or let him walk for nothing and hope that you can recoup a second or third round pick for a possible qualifying offer. Or maybe Big Sherm's just throwing money around left and right and he's going to break, you know, Chris Bubich off with a 4-year extension this offseason. Bottom line, they, you know, I ideally keep Chris Bubich, pay him, go out and spend money in free agency and bring in the big bat. Again, you know, this again goes back to the Seth Lugo conversation and really everything trying to dispel what we've been taught as baseball fans where we need to monitor the spending of our owner. Well, there is no salary cap. The Royals are nowhere near the luxury tax. Sure, pay Chris Bubich,
yeah,
and go out and sign that bat this offseason. You know, that would be ideal, but certainly Chris Bubich should be able to garner you a quality bat if Brady Singer, who was a league average pitcher, brings you a league average hitter in Jonathan India, an all-star pitcher, even if it's only 1 year, should bring you at least multiple years of an all-star bat in return. That's how I would look at it.
Yeah, is it easier, I guess you could say, to acquire that bat via trade than it is to compete in free agency? We saw last year with the Santander thing, and he went for $30 million more up to Toronto,
right.
You know,
yeah,
than the Royals were offering, which is a huge eye-opening number. Isn't it, like, I hate to use the term easier, but easier for the Royals to acquire the bat that they want via trade than free agency?
Yeah, because the bidding war, instead of it being dollars in free agency, the bidding war is among the other 29 teams of trying to find something on your roster that you'll part with to acquire a guy that immediately becomes your number one or number two in the rotation. Yeah. And doing it in the offseason, you're not limiting yourself to the teams that are in the race, as it would be the case for Seth Lugo, trying to trade him at the deadline. Bad teams don't want Seth Lugo right now. But in the offseason, bad teams would love Chris Bubich. Good teams, mediocre teams, everybody could use an arm like Chris Bubich. So if the Royals dangle that out there, come to me with your best offer, and you take the bat that you like best. Last year it was Jonathan India. That has I wouldn't say blown up in their face, but he's been pretty disappointing this season. Hopefully it fares better next offseason.
Vern, I'll let you finish off with your choice of three different questions. Not really three different questions. You want to talk baseball? You want to talk movie? Or do you want me to read you a really nice text?
Is it about Happy Gilmore 2?
Yes.
The second question? Yeah.
You've
so
seen
disappointing.
It?
Yeah. Not
really?
Disappointing.
Aww.
Just, no, it was exactly what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
It seemed more like an SNL skit than Happy Gilmore 2. It's just too many cameos. I saw the jokes coming from a mile away. I thought the story was pretty whack. Yeah, overall, I thought it was... I don't think I laughed out loud for like a 10-second stretch, like a real deep laugh. I don't think that happened. Vern Lundquist, to me, was the star of the movie.
Okay.
Vern was great. Yeah.
He was great.
Anybody named Vern's great. Baseball question now. What do you want to see from this series against Atlanta?
Good baseball. You know, what we saw yesterday, I would say yesterday's game was one of the 10 or 15 best performances we've seen from this group all season. Power hitting for, you know, playing some small ball, coming up clutch. They ran the bases. They defended. Great starting pitching. Great relief pitching. They looked like a playoff team yesterday. That's what I want to see. You know, for as much as, you know, we want to say, hey, look how good they're playing since the All-Star break. Yeah, I mean, are they, I mean, We could really dive into it. You look at that Miami series. Yep. We could talk about the Cubs series. And sure, there were three really nice offensive performances on that road trip. You also were skunked in another game, held to one run in another game, and gagged away another game. And then this weekend, taking on Cleveland, you know, yesterday was outstanding. I give credit to the Royals in the opener of the doubleheader for fighting, even though they, you know, neither team deserved to win that game. And then they got beat up in the nightcap. So, you know, nine games in, I would say they've played three good games, four bad games, and two just baseball games. So I want to see them look like a playoff team for the next 3 days going into the deadline.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I am, too. It's time to string some games together, right? You can't take two steps forward and then one step back. You're never going to catch up to where you need to be.
And that's who they've been all season. And God love the fans that still believe the best baseball lies ahead for this team. And the onus is on the boys now to go out there and do it.
Vern, I'll finish with this. It says, hey, fellas, been waiting to send this until Vern came on about a year ago, Josh's last day and my last day of chemo. This weekend, I got good news. I'm 1 year cancer-free and just wanted you guys and Vern to know how much you have meant to me and everyone else. You all helped me get through the lowest of lows. The culture you have created makes it feel like a family. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you and I love you. You guys truly matter in every way, every important way. Sorry for the long text, but that comes from Dave.
That's awesome, Dave. Congratulations, dude.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And my wife is an oncology nurse. You know, we're in the candy store of life. She's right out there grinding away, doing all that great work. But God love you, man.
And Vern, you got the show coming at 5:30. What can people listen for?
Yeah, I got a pair of tickets to an upcoming Dollar Dog Night of C.J. Abrams in the Washington Nationals. Should I have mentioned his name? Do people know who C.J. Abrams is? Either way, the Nationals are coming to Kauffman Stadium. I'll give a pair of tickets away coming up tonight right around 5:45.
There you go. Vern, we appreciate it as always. We love you for coming on, and good luck for the rest of the season. And sorry you didn't like Happy Gilmore, too.
That's all right. Good to have you back, Dusty.
Thank you, Vern. We appreciate it. That's Josh Fernier, our Royals insider, tonight, 5:30, as they gear up for three games against Hotlanta. You couldn't make that up anymore. It's going to be a scorcher out there. I don't know if you saw Kling's tweet.
I did. Today's the day when you sweat before you sweat.
No
right?
doubt about it. I asked the question to the text line today and to the dads out there. Are you more excited for football or are you more excited for schools to start? Because there was a lot of dads on this vacation I went on and said, God, I can't wait for school to start. Give me your answer. School or football? What are you more excited about here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports? Back here on Fesco and Dusty with Nathan with you as well. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. You got football Thursday night, the Hall of Fame game, the Lions versus the Chargers. Sweet. But football is all but back, right? Training camp, there's now pads. Day two of pads today. Cody and Gold will be there live from 10 to 2 in St. Joe. Has anybody checked the radar yet for St. Joe?
I have not.
Because this is about the time that you start checking the radar
on
what it looks like up north.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are on 470 going west, just stay patient and keep it on 96.5 The Fan, and we'll get you through your traffic.
Or just stay home. I mean, seriously, if you're going westbound on 470, man, whoo, I'll tell you what, man. I saw Nick Vassos tweeted out that 63 minutes
of not ideal
just sitting there
to go from Lee Summit to Raytown.
God.
Yeah. alternate route for sure. Type in your GPS to your job location at 470 West is something you take.
Right.
Go a different route.
The construction is supposed to be over around 10 o'clock this morning, though. So I'm guessing it's a one-time deal because they said from 6 to 10 a.m. Right? So if it's from 6 to 10 a.m., they said for an emergency repair, I'm guessing it's a one-time deal.
Because right there, they're fixing View High Drive. They're like adding a lane down View High.
Yeah, that's a mess there too. Yeah, good luck. Good luck. Let me know what it's like when you're driving home if there's still traffic out there and people trying to get to work.
It's crazy too because on my way home through that stretch, I go like 65 cruise control because I've never seen this before, but they have a state trooper on a motorcycle on the bridge. And then they have guys sitting on the side of the road that they clock and then they radio and
right,
then
they get go.
Pulled up. I was like, and you just watch it. And it's crazy because whenever I see one of those guys drive past me really fast, I'm like, watch out for the guy in the bridge. Actually, you know what?
Don't.
You're on your own there, Tony.
Did he have truck nuts?
Oh, no. You don't see a lot of that anymore. I think they've, you know, been
dissipated.
Yeah. Or what's the word? Castrated?
Yeah, cut off.
No, but I was on vacation. There was a couple dads there, and their kids were there as well. We had a huge house. It literally fit 30 people. And a lot of them have kids, and they're at the point in the summer now where, like, I think a lot of people went on vacation the week before, last week, or this week because school starts mid-August, which is literally in 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks, yeah. Schedules came out today for our kids.
Oh, so you can see their teachers and all that sort of stuff?
Who's got class with who? The panic is already setting in. I'm getting texts all along. I've got this class. I didn't want that class. I need this class.
I mean, this material. No, you don't.
No, but that's the beauty of having a daughter that's going to be a sophomore and one that's going to be a freshman because my freshman's like, I need all this stuff, and my older daughter's like, no, you don't. You need, like, one book and a pen. Like, we're not going out here and buying you 85 million pencil holders and things like that for high school.
I want a Trapper Keeper.
Yeah, we don't have those anymore.
No, they were banned when I was a kid. They were not allowed, apparently.
Why?
I don't know. I really don't know. They were always like, no Trapper Keepers. I have no idea why. That just didn't. So my mom got me a Trapper Keeper.
I mean,
of course. No, but they've got kids, and, you know, they're at the end of the summer where the kids have, you know, unfortunately, they don't have a lot of stuff going on like we do as adults, where they've run out of things to do, right? Like, I've seen my friends, I've been on vacation, I've done this, now I'm just going to drive my parents nuts. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the parents are like, I just cannot wait for school to start so my kids can go to, you know, grade school, middle school, high school, whatever it may be. And I was asking them around the beach, I'm like, are you more excited for school to start, or are you more excited for football to start? And there was a pause. And anytime there's a pause, I know it's a decent question. Because normally when somebody's like, oh, football, you're like, oh, okay, never mind, I'll go to the next person.
Right.
And then they'll let the person that'll be like, well, gosh, I'm really ready to watch the Chiefs, but I'm also really ready for my kids to be out of the house from 10. Because a lot of people I'm friends with work from home remotely or whatever, and it's nice, right? And their kids are home, so it's like...
Brutal.
You know what I mean? So I asked
the text line... That's why you don't work remotely. You get the hell out of the house, man. I'm not kidding.
Right? So I asked the text line, I asked you guys, and I know Nathan, you have kids, but you do. Mm-hmm. Are you more excited for football or for school to start?
I'm more excited for school to start, and it's not because to get them out of the house. They're adults now, right? Yeah. I mean, they do their own thing. So funny thing about that this weekend, right? So we were, you know... out and about doing whatever, and all of a sudden DoorDash shows up to the house, right? And the ring goes off. My wife looks at the thing, and she goes, why are you, we've told you, like, for the rest of the summer, no more DoorDash, right? Because it's costing too much money. More DoorDash. Yeah. My daughter's friend DoorDashed to the wrong house because she's been staying with us, but she's away with her family on vacation. So they got a free Cane's meal over the weekend.
Oh.
And so, like, our kids were like, sweet, you DoorDashed to the wrong house, right? Because she had the app set and she just clicked to have this food sent to our house as opposed to wherever the hell she is at this point in time. So we got a free Cane's meal out of the deal, which was nice. But, you know, my kids are working and doing that kind of stuff. And so I just want them to go back. I'm excited for them to go back because I'm excited for them, for my daughter to get her sophomore year started. And my, you know, I got a freshman this year. It's a big, big year when you start that freshman year of high school and all the activities.
Are they all
and
the
things
same high
like
school?
That.
They don't have like a freshman center.
No, okay. Yeah. All of that kind of stuff, you know, to get involved in. So I'm excited for them to go back to school, and you can tell it's time. They're ready as they get older. It's like, all right, it's time. I got to get my stuff done. I got, you know, the tennis, I've got cheerleading, I've got this, I got that, the other thing. And
you've
they kind of want to get, right. And
get on.
Right. And they want to kind of get back into their routine. And kind of back to their lives. And I know they sit around, they go, I don't want school to start. But deep down inside, they're ready to get back to school.
Love
too.
School.
Yeah.
You ready for football to start? You don't have any kids yet, do you?
I don't have any kids yet. No, I think that might be my answer, though, would be the football.
Football?
And this is like,
Can I let you in on a little secret? I'm never ready for the first weekend of the NFL season.
Why?
Because I'm never ready for summer to officially be over, and that kind of signals the end of the summer to be over.
July 5th is the end of
summer. I know, it is. but football really is, like, that's when you got the kids doing stuff, like, you look at your calendar and you're like, where am I going to take a dump, you know? And so football kind of signifies that, and it's just a stacked calendar. Fall is a very, very busy time, and I always know when then football hits, I've got 16 soccer games on a Saturday, I've got this on a Sunday, and you're like, man, when am I going to have time to do anything? And so like when football season starts, it's always that clue to me, like, life is speeding up really, really fast, and there's no more just sitting around scratching yourself, you know? Yeah. Nathan's looking at me like, I got to get married soon?
Yeah. No, I mean, you brought it up earlier, like, it's August this week.
Yeah.
I mean, time's just flying by. Yeah, I don't in myself, I don't really need football to get that dread of like, oh my gosh, time is just moving so quickly. But yeah, the wedding has done that for me enough on its own.
Yeah.
So
you know, it's going to be tomorrow and you're going to be in the wedding's going to be here. That's how quickly it's going to happen.
We've got this website that like counts down
the
days for like, so it tells you need to have this planned by this
day. How many days are you away?
Just over 100. Okay. I told my fiance, I was like, when that goes from three digits to two, that's when I'm going to start freaking out.
Yeah, but there's nothing to freak out about. If you know you've made the right decision on the person that you're getting married to, who the hell cares what's going to happen at this thing? And that's the thing that, you know, my wife will always tell people, make sure you enjoy your wedding day, because so many people don't. You get so caught up in everything, you forget to enjoy your own wedding.
Somebody says from the 816, I raised five boys, Bob. Welcome to your kids driving chapter of life. God help you.
I'm going to tell you, it's nervous. Like, you worry as a parent, you worry for different reasons now when they're out driving. Thank God for Life 360. I mean, you know, you get the opportunity to kind of follow them. And, you know, driving at 15 is still kind of young for me, right? And so I follow my daughter all over. Okay, I'm going to work, Dad. And I follow her all the way to Jasper's and make sure she gets there on time.
You could see like her top speed and stuff too on that thing.
Oh,
it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you can see every detail.
Yeah, I take those pictures of my wife to let her know she's speeding.
But that's fun.
Oh, she loves
it. From you to Jen, from Jen to them. so some full circle conversation about the Trapper Keeper. Apparently it was the Velcro that drove teachers nuts, and that's why schools didn't want them.
I could see that. Yeah. Yeah.
And then from the 913, Staples. I did not know it was still around. Staples brought Trapper Keepers back last year.
Oh, cool.
So maybe teachers will. Gosh, when does Jen start? Is it
next week? Yeah, the teachers go back next week. I think my daughters go back like the 13th, 14th, 15th, that point in time.
Yeah.
But the teachers are going back. Jen's going back the week before.
I always knew school was right around the corner because when I worked at Jack Stack and did morning shifts, there was, for a week straight, it was the teachers all came out for lunch because they had their get back together day.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like, yeah, you have a party of 15 coming in at 11:15. I'm like, who in the world is coming in on a Tuesday morning with 15 people planning to eat lunch randomly in August? They're like, it's Raytown Elementary. I'm like, God.
Yeah,
got
that's
it.
Right. Teachers are back. Yep. Yeah, yep. Teachers are back.
Be nice to those teachers.
Absolutely.
Underpaid and undervalued. But yeah, so I am excited for football to be back because after hearing that the pads are on, that's how you get back into it.
Because
you know that it's right around the corner. They'll be back in pads today. We'll get into the Lugo extension recap. Plus, we'll dive into what we heard about Deion Sanders in the news that will be released today in a press conference with his medical team. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.